Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast where you'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope these stories inspire and energize you to take your business to the next level.
Kara Lee and Cass, what a privilege it is to get both of you today and have two different perspectives as to what's going on in the mortgage space. So why don't we start off with you, Kara Lee? What is your role in the company?
I have a couple different roles. I actually am a lender. So my actual title is Senior Vice President, Metro East Sales Manager. So I actually lend and do the loans myself. And then I have 9 people underneath me.
So you are a superhero. Okay, great.
I try. It's been a rough year, but we're making it.
Cass, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Cass Wolfenberger. I'm the president and CEO of Town & Country Bank Mortgage Services, which is a wholly owned division of Town & Country Bank based in Springfield, Illinois.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I know you're excited to have Kara Lee join us and have this opportunity to hear from her as well. So tell me a little bit right now. We've gone through some of the most unprecedented times in the history of the world. And we've been chosen, if you will, to go through this challenging times. In the last 18 months, we've all learned something. I am curious from your perspective, what have you learned over that last 18 months?
Me, specifically for being in the sales force and management, I mean, you've got to have extreme empathy. You've got to understand that everybody's coming from a different situation and a different background, and you never know what's going on with them. So, you know, people take things out on you and they're not happy, but you have to understand it's probably not you, it's their situation. So I've learned extreme empathy for all my customers and my loan officers.
Wow. God bless you. What about you, Cass?
Yeah. So, you know, in addition to empathy, you know, we've really tried to focus on, you know, a concept of loving on your people. So, you know, as we move people out to remote and our world changed a little bit, you know, our core values and our people really took front and center stage. So we really tried to put some attention towards that of just, you know, making sure that, you know, we're providing the resources, we're providing the direction that people are looking for. Because you're right, it was a very strange environment for sure. So
a lot of people struggle at home. It's not their thing. They're not used to it, being alone.
Yeah, you know, that adjustment was interesting. At first, it was like, oh, this is a blessing. I can be home and my kids come home from school. And then it's become, now it's a little lonely. And there, I just read a survey that said 20% of people are really experiencing loneliness at home and working from that. What percentage of your workforce now is remote versus in the office?
Ooh, that's a Cass question. I can answer for myself, but overall, Cass?
Yeah, I would say we're back to about 90% of the people that are back in the office. Really, the ones that, you know, are eligible for remote. So that was one of the things that we did. You know, most companies did not have a remote, you know, work from home policy. So, you know, we had to work through those mechanics and figure that out and you know, apply it where it made sense. But at this point, we're, you know, probably about 90% back to the office. Now, of course, we have a curveball coming our way, too, that, you sure. know, we're not completely out of the woods. So more to come on that, I think.
Sure. What about you, Cass? What percentage are back?
Oh, Kara Lee, probably me this time.
I'm sorry, Kara Lee.
That's okay. No, I only have one that works at home, I would consider, or maybe two. Now I'm going to say 3. 2 loan officers that work home full time. Most of it's because of spacing. And then I have one loan assistant. She's home, but I make her come in once or twice a week because I think it's good for her. She really performs better when she's around people. So maybe a third.
So let's pretend I'm a recruit that's considering your company. What would you describe the culture to be like?
I always tell everybody the same thing. I'm brutally honest. And I always say, you know, we're a medium-sized company. We're not really small. We're not big. We're not your PNC and your Bank of America. So we all know each other, which is good and bad. But I always say we love really hard and we fight really hard, you know, so it's like a big family. And it really is. I mean, you have your ups and your downs just like you do in your 4 walls at home. So
Cass, what about you?
Yeah. So, you know, we really tried to focus, you know, again, on just what our core values are, you know, which is teamwork, achievement, positive thinking, and passion. And so, you know, that's really where all of our emphasis has been. So
you can get along with each other. The rest comes naturally.
It does, doesn't it? When you actually have an appreciation for one another. And I like the how you said love one another and you can fight with one another, but yeah,
We've actually put a lot of emphasis on the idea of, you know, people's intentions. So, you know, just trying to learn, you know, what people's intentions are, and that usually drives behaviors. Sure. So we've tried to peel the onion back a little bit and get to the, you know, kind of the bottom line of why people behave the way they do. And, you know, so when we apply that to, you know, our staff or, you know, all of our people, in a consistent way, people start to gravitate towards that. They understand what what the gravitational pull is, and frankly, what the bank's, you know, overarching values are.
Right. It goes to that family thing.
It's like
family.
All right. So, you know, we've all gotten to a place in our careers and where you are right now. And I'm often asked, so I'm going to turn it over to you and ask the question I get asked is, if you could do one thing differently in your career, and you could go back and do something, what would it be?
Me?
Mm-hmm. We'll start with you, Carolyn.
Well, first of all, I would have picked a bigger city, so my average loan size was higher.
To take
100 million on 700 loans is a lot of loans, you know?
Oh, it's a lot of loans.
So if I could do something differently, I think I innately knew that relationship building and relationships were what made people in mortgage special. And it wasn't supposed to be transactional. I just knew that when I came in. So if I could do anything different, I think that I would have asked for the education earlier, because I was self-taught until I took one of your dinosaur classes, I was told. I was in one of the top producers courses when I was with Regions. I was with them for 11 years. And that changed my life and changed my business. So if I could do anything differently, I would have been educated early on. Does that make sense? Because the industry lacks that.
Totally.
So I would have started earlier.
Totally.
Moved.
All right. What about you, Cass? What would you do different?
Well, pretty much the same thing as Carol Lee. You know, I started my career in a very affordable market. So, you know, we used to go to conferences and people would talk about their dollar amount production. And then I'd tell them mine and they wouldn't know about units, but I'd tell them the dollar amount and they invariably would question whether I'm a home equity lender. So that would definitely be one thing that I would have changed. But honestly, what I would have done differently, knowing what I know now, is found you about 20 years earlier than I did. Carol Lee is exactly right. The training in this industry has been so fragmented and very loose that, but, you know, there's so many moving parts to learn. It's almost inundating to think through the training process. So, you know, my hat's off to you to, you know, develop this program. And, you know, and this has been one of the things that we wanted to get accomplished this year, is how are we going to grow and attract people, you know, when it's really tough. You know, last year we were going through a pandemic and it was hard to get people away from where they were at. So we feel like this is one of those big things that maybe not a lot of lenders are doing, but we feel is very, very, very important. Is training and development. So, you know, years ago when I first started, you know, there was another system that I used that I don't think is as good as yours, but, you know, it did work. And if I were to go back, if I started my career as a manager, I would say every person that gets hired is going to sit down and go through this. And that's the way we start off. And I think people would have a different, you know, experience in the mortgage business.
Well,
thank you for your kind words. You know, we've been blessed to be able to pour into everyone. And I opened Zenix with the intention of elevating the industry, giving people a fast start to success. Because, you know, you were successful without us. would we have gotten you there faster, possibly, so you didn't have to experience all the pitfalls, all the ones that I had to experience as well, because I didn't have me at the time. I had to learn it as I went. So, all right, so here's a question. You're both in leadership. And what do you think the most important qualities are for a great leader?
You want me to take that one, Carolee?
I'll go, and then you can go if you want.
Okay.
Because yours will be different. But for me, like, from especially during the pandemic, and we also lost a leader. That's why Cass came in like halfway through. So we were kind of, you know, we were doing struggling. So that made, I had to make sure that I showed strength to my people underneath me, because they're like, we don't have a boss. What are we going to do? You know, that kind of thing. I'm like, yes, we do. We have CEO. We still have other people. We're going to find somebody. So showing them that you're strong and that you're committed and dedicated, you know, being positive. If every organization has issues, let's face it, it's mortgage, right?
Sure.
So you cannot let them see that. It's kind of like, you know, it just make sure they feel confident, be strong, be positive, be committed, and they learn by example. So whatever you want them to do, it's just like your kids, you know, you have to perform as well.
How true. What about you, Cass?
Yeah, I would say, you know, being a fearless leader. So, you know, decisiveness, you know, which is not easy when you first step into a role. You know, your people need to understand that you understand the business, and they need to understand what your intentions are. You know, so if you can communicate to them that your intentions are for the best for the company, then it kind of cascades down. So I think being fearless, knowing your industry is, you know, highly, highly important, you know, but I don't know everything about this business, so there's still more to learn. So, you know, that's an evolving thing. You know, it's certainly a positive attitude. You know, we're going to run into obstacles every single day. And that's kind of how we approach it, that, you know, none of these problems are going to go away. This is a continual series of problem solving is really what we do. And you know, somebody that has the passion for the industry, you know, it's really hard. This is a tough business to be in if you don't have passion. So it can grind you up and spit you out pretty quickly if you don't have passion for the industry. So those are the things that I think, you know, people gravitate towards leadership in general.
Yeah, I got to say, Carolee, strength. They're looking for it, right? The person that's going to keep them positive and keep them hopeful when times are tough. So I love that. Love that. All right. So you've got salespeople today. This is going to be a good one for you. What's the one thing you wish they would do more of? And if anybody's listening in, there's a high probability that we're talking to them. If you could, they could do more of to make them more successful, what would it be? What'd you say?
Just do it. Just be persistent and consistent. Pick up the phone, you know, send the emails, do the podcast, whatever. Just if you get out there and do it, you will get results. You have to be persistent and consistent. You just have to do it. It's all it takes. Just getting out there or on the phone right now or Teams or Zoom.
You got it.
Be in front of your people.
Cass, what about you?
I would say, you know, just have a strong belief that you can do it. You know, there are, you know, I remember my first sales call, you know, sitting out in front of a real estate office wondering, what am I going to go in there and say? But you go in there and you strike up a conversation, and pretty soon, you know, 29 years later, you sit here. So I would say just believe in yourself. You know, if you have decent training and you have decent support, go out there and just be positive. And if you show up prepared, you know, we know this, if you show up prepared, you're probably going to beat 80% of the people that you're competing against. So my two things are, you know, just be prepared and just believe in yourself to do it.
You guys have no idea, but it's interesting. We actually preach and teach within the Zenix family that based on Dr. Henry Cloud, I'm not sure if you've read the book called Boundaries for Leaders, where he shares very candidly what it takes to be successful and what's the difference between the good and the great, the average and the exceptional. And you both just said it. One was you got to believe in yourself and believe where you're going. You got to just know it. And then the second is prioritize it And Carolee, you're like, just go do it. I mean, it's not that hard. So, but right. the do it was, what are you prioritizing? And it's really prospecting, getting in front right. of referral sources constantly. So mine is, I call it the non-negotiable. What's the non-negotiable? We all brush our teeth every morning, hopefully, right? That's a non-negotiable. Do it because I have to, I mean, just don't even think about it. Well, you should have a non-negotiable in your business as a salesperson. What is it? How many sales calls per day is a non-negotiable for you? And if you don't have that minimum number, there's a high probability you're missing out. Because you know, once you set it. The number, you do it, then the consistency will win. So you
believe in yourself. If you do it, you believe in yourself because it works.
Right. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's a high when you get a natural high when you go out there and you say, you had reluctance to do something, but you confronted it and you did it anyway. That gives you the confidence next time, I can do it. I can do it.
All right. So we're going to end with a question that's an easy one because I'm curious from both perspectives. Tactically, you have a culture that you're trying to preserve, right? Is there anything that you're doing specifically that you think helps really pull everyone together?
You want me to speak to that, Carolee?
Yeah, mine's short, so go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, from a company perspective, so, you know, the dynamic of, you know, moving a workforce to remote and then bringing them back in, you know, that's certainly challenging when your culture is based on everybody being around each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we did a pretty good size technology investment and, you know, rolled out teams both internally in our organization and externally. So customers and other folks can interact with us that way. So we put a technology investment to it. And then we really did a lot of work, and it's ongoing work. It's not over. This is a continual thing, but to update, look at our core values. Are they still appropriate? Are they accurate for what we want to do at this point in time? So we put a lot of work into, you know, the core values. And that's really what is a common language throughout our entire company. And that's what we feel brings people together, is our, you know, common purpose and core values. So that's where most of our work has been around from the leadership team perspective.
Do you have monthly meetings, Cass, or do you have weekly meetings with the group or the team?
With the leadership team, it's every week. Same day, same time, every week. Very dedicated process for bringing up issues and solving issues. And, you know, and Carolee is part of that on the mortgage side.
Excellent. Carolee, what do you do to help preserve the culture?
I think it's very important right now with all the change. There's so much change in our world and, you know, depending on what's going on in the country. So we have overlays, we have Fannie guidelines. So to stay current, I think it's so important to stay current, because if you're not, it drives a wedge between operations and mortgage, because there's always that fight, you know.
Sure.
If you're not current, you're going to make mistakes. Stay current. And I think it's important for everybody to be transparent, you know, just lay it out there. And if you do those two things, I think it helps a lot. It helps keep everybody together on a team, and it helps us to look good to the outside as well, to the public.
Do you specifically, Carolee, have actually weekly sales meetings with your salespeople?
I do. Mine are probably every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because in the summer, but we meet about once every, I'd say, 10 days.
Okay.
So 10 to 14 days, and we talk about issues and, you know, that have come up in that time and what we need to work on and to get current and to do better at.
You got it. Well, are there any parting thoughts that you think someone would want to hear about Town & Country Bank?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, Town & Country Bank is one of those places where, you know, when I first interviewed here, you know, I drove home thinking, I'm not sure I believe all of that. And then I got here and it permeates the air and it's in the Kool-Aid.
That's awesome.
So, you know, certainly a huge emphasis on our core values. And, you know, really one of the big things this year, you know, we've brought on a training and development coordinator. So really Zenix was the lead into that. So as we installed Zenix, you know, into our training and development, you know, the other departments started to think, hey, maybe this is something we want to do on the other side of the bank too. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Carolee?
So I would say that we're a little bank, but we have a big personality. We're also a mortgage company in a bank, and a lot of people hear bank, depending on the area you're in, and they're like, oh, those people don't work. So it's important to know that we're both. We have all the products of a big bank. We're competitive with everything. But the thing is, we don't have so many tiers. So like, I can call CAS, right, if I need something or we need to work through a loan. I don't have to wait a week like I did when I was at a bigger bank, you know, to go through the channels. Right. So big bank, big personality, and we have a ton to offer.
Oh, wow.
So we feel like we're big enough to have the resources to play around with the big guys, still have that, you know, small enough feel to, you know, make sure that people understand that they can have an impact when they come here.
I love that. You know, we all exist to have an impact, whether that's why we intentionally got in. When you think of, consider that people want to buy a home, get married, right? Have children. We get to impact them in one of the biggest decisions they'll ever make financially and a place where they're actually going to live. And if people can keep that at the center of what they do, and we get really paid well for it. But if you stay centered that the people are not files anymore, they're actually human beings that are going to live in a home, and they are sharing more intimate details about their life to a complete stranger. If you really stop, you know, been in this industry for over 30 plus years, if you can really let that resonate for a minute and consider the fact that not only are they undressing themselves, but they're living in a home that you help them with. And if you can remember that, life will be amazing for you in the mortgage space. But what a privilege it is to have a little bit of time with the two of you. I'd love to bring you back and find out, how'd you get where you are today? Who was that big mentor in your life? And anyway, I'd love to continue this if you guys are open to that later.
Well, absolutely. I'd be my privilege.
Oh, well, God bless you guys. Have an amazing day, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back for new episodes of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast by Zenix, the Mortgage Academy. You can download our episodes wherever you love to listen to podcasts or on our website at zenix.com/insidethemortgagemind.